Good morning and welcome to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. Today we are joined by the chair of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Nepne, Glenn Roundsville, our youth pastor, and Dave Valerio, our musical director. So Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
O God, author of eternal life, send forth your spirit upon us so that our lips may praise you, that our lives may bless you, and our meditations glorify you as we call ourselves to worship. Amen. Gracious God, whoever leads us from darkness to light, may our gathering and worship be for each of us a way to say no to the darkness around us, even as we watch and work, dream and hunger for the dawning of a new day. May we always act as the children of the day, strong in the confidence that nothing can hide you from us forever. We acknowledge that as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Glenn, for that. I believe Sherilyn has something that she wants to tell us about the Sunday school. So Sherilyn?
Yes. So I wanted to announce that Sunday school will be starting next month. And we're actually going to be returning to in-person Sunday school classes in a few weeks. So we're going to kick off the year on Sunday, October 3rd with a kind of a welcome back open house over at the CE building. And that's going to take place at 11 o'clock. So we invite all families to join us at that time to hear a little bit about Sunday school. And we've also planned a pumpkin painting activity for the kids and families. And then Sunday school classes will begin on Sunday, October 17th, in person at the CE building at 9:45 a.m. So Sunday, October 3rd is the open house at 11, and then classes will be October 17th at 9:45. The registration forms will be going out to families this week. It will also be available on the church website. So if you have any family or friends that you want to share the information with who may be interested, please feel free to do so. We're always happy to have new families and children join us at Sunday school. So, so we'll be back and we're looking forward to seeing all the kids in person in just a few weeks. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherilyn. And I presume that we're asking for the children to be masked if they still are in school.
Yes, masks will be required.
I'm sure we'll be getting out more and more details as we close in on that.
Yeah, date. Some of that information will be going out along with the registration form.
Of course it will, yeah. I just wanted to make sure because some of our people listening might be concerned.
Yes. So masks will be required for the okay. kids as well as the folks who are doing the classes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you very much, Sherilyn. We appreciate all you're doing. In light of that as well, the deacons are looking ahead to beginning the process of being back in our sanctuary for worship. We're probably going to begin, as Dave Valerio has described it, with a soft opening, meaning that it will only be the participants who will be in the sanctuary, but it will be streaming out to Zoom. So you will still be able to obviously be on Zoom to watch what's going on. And then we hope to continue to add more and more people. And so stay tuned for further information because we will be publishing also the what we need to be doing in worship as well. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make? If so, please feel free to unmute yourself and speak up.
Carol?
Yes.
Also, during the Sunday school opening, I'll be presenting what we're going to plan on doing for youth. And also, I just like to let people know that they can text me or email me if the kids are going to want to be involved. That helps. So then when I send out emails and things like that, I can do it to the people who want to be connected.
Okay, great. Thank you, Pastor Glenn. Anyone else want to make an announcement at this time? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you please introduce your music to us?
Sure. Yes, I was going to make an announcement, but I'll just do it now too.
Fine.
So as far as the children's choir goes, we're just going to hold off on that a little while and let Sunday school get started and let them work out the bugs and make sure it works well. Because we still don't know where we stand with the whole singing thing and gathering to sing. And that goes for the adult choir too. So I'm glad, Peg, you're here too today. We're just kind of on hold. It's probably going to be a slow process getting back. Like Reverend Carol said, I'm going to start playing organ live from the church. And then we may start with some soloists, some duos, some trios, some small groups, and slowly get back into it. And then see what where the rules and regulations lie in the next few months. And hopefully shooting for having a more full church by December. So I'll keep you posted on that. This morning's opening hymn was Take Time to Be Holy. And it's nice to see everybody here taking time to be holy today. And hymn that we're going to sing is All Things Bright and Beautiful. If you have a hymnal, it's number 147 in the hymnal. Otherwise, if you go down to the chat button, find that bar, tap on the chat button, and Sherilyn has posted the lyrics. I think it's two or three verses. So let's all sing together and stay on mute. All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you. that opens each little bird that sings. God made their glowing colors and made their tiny wings. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The purple-headed mountains, the river running by, the sunset and the morning that brightens up the sky. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The cold wind in the winter, the pleasant summer sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, God made them every one. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
Thank you, Mr. Dave, for that music. It's always good to be together and to sing, even if we can't hear one another. This is the time we share our celebrations. We have many that I would like to lift up today. First of all, little Eamon, Jan's grandson, is out of the hospital and finally at home. So we're grateful for that following his surgery. I understand that it is Wayne Netney's birthday today. So happy birthday. I won't ask you your age, and you don't have to tell us.
Teenage,
yeah, okay. I'd also like to celebrate the yard sale we had yesterday. I think it went extraordinarily well. There was people coming and going all the time. All of the vendors seemed to be very happy with it. So I'd like to celebrate everyone who helped with that yard sale, especially Mike Dunbar and Kathy Trowbridge, who headed it up. And we haven't really officially announced it, but Pastor Glenn has had a change of plans and is staying with us at this time. So we're very happy to be able to celebrate that as well. If you have a celebration, please feel free to unmute yourself and tell us about it.
Can I just say, Eamon is not just home, but he is thriving and he's wonderful and happy and he's going back to school on Monday.
That's great. I'm so glad, Jan. That's been a tough row for him. Ever since he was born, it's been a tough row for him.
It has.
But boy, he's someone who doesn't give up, does he?
No, he's our little superhero.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful. Any other celebrations?
I just like to celebrate that I finally had a crazy week this week. I've been back to work finally this summer. And this week I had 2 weddings and 12 other jobs. So it was my busiest week yet of the year. It's finally felt back to normal. So I'm just glad to be working. And I thank God for his blessings on keeping me healthy and everybody else.
Yeah, just stop eating those spicy chicken nuggets, Dave.
I know.
And you'll stay healthy. He's not feeling real well today. So if he disappears, we understand. Okay. Very good, Dave. Thanks for that. Any other celebrations?
Reverend Carol, I'd like to celebrate that Debbie's husband, Bob, is not only home, but is doing extraordinarily well. And they are both very thankful for the prayers and the support and the messages of love and prayer that have been sent from the church family.
Good. Thank you for that, Matt. I'm glad he's home. So I guess we can, we will keep him in our thoughts and prayers for sure. Okay, anything else to celebrate? Okay, then we turn to our concerns, and this is both a concern and a celebration in that Maddie Follett has spent a couple of days in the hospital but she is now home and is feeling better now. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the Follett family for that. We continue to pray for Rich Goss's brother, Tom, for Jackie Howard, who is having a problem with a knee, for Bob Avoy and Sister Marge, for Eamon, who is out of ICU, out of the hospital in our home and thriving. That's wonderful. For the Allen family, that's Valeria, Alyssa, Bob, and Mike. For Jess, for Len, who is at home in hospice care and in the good care of his wife, Nancy, and others who are coming in and out. Glenn has asked for prayers for his wife, Kristen, so we will continue to pray for her. She's doing a little better this week. We pray for Tyler and Brigitte, for Nancy. Ed and Janet Dyer. Ed is back at Sturdy Hospital. He thought he might be going home yesterday. I have not called the hospital yet to find out if that's true, but when I saw him on Friday, I really didn't think he should be sent home. He's in a great deal of pain. We pray for Jennifer, for Loretta, for AJ, the Bishop Fan hockey player. We pray for Marie, for Lee, and Tom Fish, Sue Ferrari's husband, and for Cher. We remember those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, Jackie Glass, Carolyn Farrell, and Doris Brunel. And as always, we pray for those who suffer from addictions. And so we continue to pray for an end to this pandemic and a way to get back into the church safely. We pray for the well-being of our nation and our communities. So please join with me in this moment of prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Loving God, we offer our prayers of thanks for this church, for its ministry to those with individual needs, for its outreach to our community through the addressing of challenging issues, for its conscience in responding to crises around the world. Grant us a breadth of vision and a depth of feeling that enables us to continue the exercise of compassion that is truly Christ-like, intimate in its approach, noble in its intent, and all-embracing in its scope. Help us to be steadfast in the task of discipling our children, teaching them to value the dignity of others, to practice the love you place within them, to maintain exuberance for service within the church. Keep us active in worship and open to caring companionship with one another. Enable us to be keepers of faith in a culture that often demeans it, distorts it, and rejects its power. Remind us also always to support one another and to be energetic in our prayers for those in need. And so we pray fervently that your healing presence will be with all of those whom we have mentioned this morning, as well as those whose names we now bring before you in this time of silence. Gracious God, we offer this our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Just before this reading, Jesus and his disciples are walking to the villages of Caesarea Philippi in the farthest northern boundary of the Promised Land. This area is at the foot of Mount Hermon in the present-day nations of Lebanon and Syria. While walking, Jesus had asked his disciples about who people thought he was. They answered that he might be Elijah, the greatest prophet at that point in Israel's history, or he might be John the Baptist returned from the dead. But Peter has a glimmer of understanding and boldly says that he knows that Jesus is the Messiah. I will be reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Please hear these words. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. The disciples were constantly confused by Jesus. They never quite understood him, but who could? I would do no better had I been there with him, I suspect. But Peter gets it for this moment when he boldly announces that Jesus is the awaited Messiah, the one who will free the Jews from the bondage of the Roman Empire. But in the very next verse, Jesus reveals that he must go to his death, and Peter, filled with confidence, begins to rebuke Jesus. He has the temerity to tell the Messiah that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Jesus then begins to teach the disciples and a crowd of people that had gathered, saying that if you want to save your life, you must lose it. What in the world does that mean? I don't know about you, but I'm always delighted by the view that children have of the church and the Bible. The internet recently carried some letters from children to their pastors. I'll just read a few of them to you. "Dear pastor, I'm sorry I can't leave more money in the plate. Well, thinking of stewardship already, that's good news. But my father did not give me a raise in my allowance. Could you have a sermon about a raise in my allowance?" And it was signed Love, Patty, age 10. "Dear pastor, I think a lot more people would come to your church if you moved it to Disneyland." Now there's a thought that would increase our stewardship, wouldn't it? That was Laureen, age 9. And my personal favorite, "Dear pastor, I liked your sermon on Sunday, especially when it was finished." I have a feeling there's a lot of people in many congregations who are very happy when the sermon is finished. And then there's the story of a Sunday school teacher who held up a portrait of Christ. And he explained to the class that this was not an actual photograph of Christ, but only an artist's conception of what Christ looks like. "But," said one little girl, "you've got to admit it looks an awful lot like him." To a child in our culture, I'm sorry to say, the picture of Jesus is clear. If he has Nordic features, blonde hair and blue eyes, rather than Palestinian features and probably brown eyes, no problem, because it was on the wall at Sunday school. Therefore, that's what Jesus must look like. Sometimes adults live with the same Sunday school concepts. And not unlike Jesus' disciples, when confronted with teachings that are very different from what we've been taught, they get confused. We sometimes forget how much difficulty Jesus' teachings gave his own disciples. Now, these were not ignorant men. They were not terribly literate, but they were not ignorant, then they were not stupid. And they were constantly asking Jesus to explain himself. When he wasn't talking in parables, he was talking in paradox. And what may seem so simple to some was very perplexing to those very close to him. It's only upon mature reflection with the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we can discern the wisdom of Jesus' words. And we see it in some of his uses of paradox and some of his parables, the principles that are at the very heart of his teacher. One youngster was in church with his dad, and he listened very intently to what the pastor was saying that day. And after church, he asked his father, "What was the pastor saying about ducks?" His father said, "I don't remember him saying anything about ducks." And he said, oh yeah, he did. "Don't you remember he said that life is a pair of ducks?" "Oh," his father replied, "you mean paradox. I think he was talking about two medical doctors, but I'm not sure what he said about them." Well, I think that that young man was a better listener than his father was, when it comes right down to it. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. Now, that certainly sounds like a contradiction, and that's what a paradox is. It is seemingly very much a contradiction. Albert Einstein, no one can claim that he was not brilliant, once said that the closer you get to the truth, the more it appears to be a paradox. I don't know what paradox Einstein had in mind, but it could not be any greater than that one that we just heard. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Jesus' paradoxes are critical to an understanding of the abundant life that Christ has promised us. If we do not understand these paradoxes, we will be like a person trying to build an airplane without any understanding of the basic principles of physics. It was a junior high school student. He was a very good up-and-coming runner, and he was competing in a 440-yard foot race. But he lost the race. And his father asked him what had happened. And he said to his father, well, you know, I train on a 330-yard track. So I misjudged the race because he had never run 440 yards. He said, I started off easy, saving myself. And I started running really hard too late. The race was over too quickly. And when the race was over, I had too much left. I hadn't used all that I had. I think that is a very good parable of life. The tragedy of many lives is not that we will have received too little, but that we may have given too little. I know it sounds great to be wealthy, but how many wildly rich people die and leave a big fortune with no one to benefit from it? And worse, sometimes the children of very wealthy get that inheritance, but never had the time and the energy of their parents to teach them values. And how often do those lives end badly? Others, however, pass on a legacy of philanthropy, which is just what this paradox of Jesus is all about. A tree does not worry about surrendering itself to the sun that bathes it. The tree has no choice. You and I, however, are confronted every day with a choice. Do we surrender all that we are and have and all we hope to be to God? If we do, we know this: God is the creator of beauty, and God can take our lives and make something beautiful out of them if we're just willing to surrender to God. This is true of our possessions, our relationships, and our service to God. Anything we save, in the end, we will lose. Anything we share, we will regain. And that which we surrender to God, God will bless in a wondrous way. God will transform it into something beautiful and worthy. So may we surrender ourselves to God. And my friends, that is the pair of ducks in today's scripture. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you all for being here, and please join with us in our virtual coffee hour if you would like to do so.